We'd like to greet everyone this morning in Jesus' precious name. Something stood out to me in that song, and that is, God doesn't change. God doesn't change. And I am so thankful he doesn't, because we live in a changing world. We live in a society that's just constantly just changing, and it's detrimental to something that's solid. I was wondering how your battle went this past week. I'm going to share something with you that just happened to me on Friday. You all know I'm a farmer, and we had a bunch of stuff around the place that I wanted to take to a scrap yard, and so I loaded that stuff up, and actually there was a partial car on this thing, and it was cut in half and smashed and all that. Anyway, my time, like usual, was crunched, and I was going to go to the scrapyard, then I was going to go get a load of stone, and then I was going to take the stone and go to a neighbor's house and all this stuff. Well, anyway, it turned out that when I got to the scrapyard, they saw this car come out, or parked car, and they said, "You have a title." I said, "No, I don't have a title for this thing." They said, "Can't take it." I was like, "What?" Because, you know, I had this all scheduled out to make this thing work for time structure and all that. So they loaded it back on. And I went down the road, and I got to thinking, well, the Bible says in everything give thanks. And I said, "Lord, thank you for this experience. I'm not sure what it's all about, but, you know, we'll make it work." Got home, I had to dump the thing off, and it was too late to get stone. And so I had to change my schedule, and I was going to use this skid loader to go to the neighbors with the stone. Well, anyway, instead I decided I'm going to clean out my pit underneath the chickens, and got my grandson to help hold my pigs in, our pigs in, and we were in there, and I was going in and out, and all of a sudden I was dumping it in my compost pile, and this killer just lost control, and there was nothing there. It was totally nothing. And I'm like, whoa, I heard this pop, and I realized a hose blew. So I changed my gears, I got my other loader and pulled it out of the way, and then it hit me. If I would have went the way I wanted to do it, I'd have been going halfway down the road with this skid loader, and it would have popped on me, and I would have had a major situation in my hands, you know, on a state road, you know, shut down the road, trying to get this thing off the road and all that. And I'm thinking, thank you, Lord. And I'm thinking, do you see God working in your life? He does. You need to ask him. And every day I say, God, help me. Lord, help me. You know, help me be a good steward. Help me to be what he wants me to be. And when we do that, God answers those prayers. Probably not the way we always think, but I thank God. All right. Before we get into the thing, I like to, it's quiz day again. You don't mind. Who said last weekend, that's probably for the youth, that this boy was reading the Bible and he said he had a search warrant? Who made that account? Who gave that story? I'm going to call on somebody. Tony. What? Yep, Leonard Martin said that. And the man said, "Why are you reading the Bible?" He says, "Well, the Bible says search the scriptures." So he was following the scripture. Search the scripture. All right, so we got Leonard Martin. Who was the other two speakers last weekend? What was their names?
Dean Taylor?
Brian Weaver. You're not supposed to answer both of them, but all right. Very good. Thank you. That's correct. Now, how many remember what Leonard said about, this really stood out to me. What did Bosch put in the front of his songs, the two letters, JJ? What do they mean? What does the word, two letters, JJ stand for? On the, he preached it Saturday morning. Some of the musicians want to tell me? What? says, Jesus help me. Jesus help me. You're right. Jesus help me. Okay, now at the bottom, he had FDG. Now, what does that stand for? Anyone over here? FDG. This side's quiet. Anybody over here again? Who? Is it SDG? Okay, thank you. What? Glory. God be the glory, I think. Yes, something. Soul glory, yes. That is great. And to me, those two things, what makes music? Because God is in it. And that is why we should be singing with our whole heart and soul and mind. It's awesome. All right. Next question. Leonard, not question, but Leonard said, make Jesus Christ your Lord. He challenged the youth to have Jesus as your Lord. And the acronym for, I like the acronym of Lord, is he is your leader, he's your organizer, he's your redeemer, and he's your deliverer. So if you have not made him Lord, you better make it happen. And the weekend reference was in regards to the power of influence. And Leonard gave the names of Jonathan Edwards and I think a Buck Junks, whatever. And the one was an atheist, and he gave the description of the descendants of those two men. And they were dramatic difference, dramatic. The atheist, I think he said 310 died paupers, 150 were crooks, and there was 100 drunkards, 7 murderers. And the other person had preachers, lawyers, officials, teachers, the list went on. And that was the power of influence. The Christian man had, I think, 1,394 descendants, and the other guy had 540. But what I'm driving at, or I think what the emphasis was, who are you connecting with? What influence are you connecting with? And what influence are you giving? I think that's more important. When I was 13 years old, which doesn't seem like that long ago, but I know it is, there was a song that we sang in the Christian hymnal, and it was Somebody Follows You. And that song really meant a lot to me because I realized, even though I was only 13, I knew there was people behind me, and they were looking at me, they were watching me. And it helped me become more accountable for the things that I did, because my influence on someone else, I'm going to be accountable to that. I'm going to be liable for that. And so no matter what age you are, somebody follows you. All right. So we do have an awesome God. I would like to start with prayer. Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you this morning with grateful hearts. We thank you, Father, for your greatness, for you being the God that does not change. We pray, Father, that you might especially grant me wisdom, grant me words. We pray that you might bless me with your spirit so I can say things that you want all of us to hear and understand and apply to our lives. We thank you, Father, for this brotherhood. We thank you for each one who has come out. And we just ask that you would help us to understand more fully your will for our lives so that we can in turn glorify you. We thank you again for your word, and we thank you for the truths you have given, and we just pray that you might help us to apply it. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. The thing that I was, I have a couple illustrations today that I'm hoping you can understand. I want to ask the children, what is this? An orange, right. Now, I wasn't going to get dramatic, but I was half tempted to cut this thing up and squeeze it. But if I do squeeze this thing, what am I going to get out of it? What am I going to get out? Orange juice. All right. And that is correct, because this is an orange and it should produce orange juice. Now, what is this? A lemon. Lemon. Now, if I would cut this thing up and squeeze it, what am I going to get? Lemon juice, right. Now, the thing that strikes me, I have a little ball here, and you don't know what I'm going to get out of if I squeeze it, right? Do you know? It's hard. It's a little squealer. But now, this is a puppy dog chewer, you know, and it has this noise. But my question now, after we some things you don't know. Now, my question is this. Christians, if we squeeze Christians, what are we going to get? What are we going to get when we start squeezing Christians? Exactly. Whatever's inside. This morning, the title that I give this message, and that is, Who Are We? Fact or Fiction? Who are we? Fact or Fiction? What brought me... You might get tired. I think my wife told me I say this too often, but I want to give credit to my grandmother. My grandmother, when we were young, she drilled in me, God hates a lying tongue. God hates a lying tongue. And that's been burnt in my hard drive. Mm-hmm. And what, as a servant leader, I have encountered many situations where people that I've communicated with said things in a way that were not 100% accurate. I don't think they meant it, but I began to realize the seriousness of, it's easy for us to say things to our advantage. Like, my neighbor has this joke. He said there was an Amishman that was selling a horse, and he told the guy, hey, he says, the horse doesn't look so good. And the guy said, looks good to me. He came back a week later and said, hey, this thing's blind. He said, I told you it didn't look so good. But you understand what I'm saying? This is how people live. They live in a way to their advantage. So, and what brought me to this situation was, I have a customer who is coming up to a year anniversary on his bill. And it's substantial. And I've been texting him almost every month, you know, and he makes promises. I'm waiting for this check to clear. I'm doing this. So, you know, I'll be there next week. I'll be there Tuesday. I'll be there. You know, it just goes on and on. So this past week, I text him. And I said, are you going to fulfill your promise? I said, when a person does not fulfill their promise, trust disappears and respect disappears. He responded right away. He said, I'll be there tomorrow. And he was. He was there tomorrow just to talk to me, not to pay me. But I felt like, thankfully, his conscience is working. And he's hoping, he's saying, next week. But, you know, I've heard that for a year now, and we'll see once. But what I'm driving at, that helped motivate me, some of these situations, to realize, what do we do? I've said this over and over with raising children. You say what you mean and mean what you say. And if you don't do that, you're destroying the respect that you should have. And I want to tell you here, God says what he means and means what he says. And may we have the honesty to accept it. Art, could you give me a glass of water? I don't see Titus here. I'm not going to get any orange or lemonade this time. Anyway, we know that truth Truth of something is a fact. It's real and it's accurate. We know that lies is a false statement. It's something that's dishonest. It's a deliberate intent to deceive. Deceit is a concealment or a distortion of truth for the purpose of misleading people. And I would like to help you understand that we have, I say this often, and it doesn't change. We know that God is love, He is true, and He is just. And I would just like you to quickly look at some of these verses. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not have life everlasting. My cry is that He loves us. God loves us so much. He did so much for us. He's given us His word. He's given us examples. And the thing that I really like about the Bible, He gives us the good and the bad. He shows us people are real. And what the response or the consequences to those choices or the decisions that people made. So the question is, who are we? I'd like to turn to John 1. Thank you, Art. John 1, and it's just a verse here that I'd like to read, and that is, I got the right book. John 1, verse, I think it's 14. Reads like this. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory of the only begotten the Father, full of grace and truth. He is full of grace and truth. God will lie. God lies not. He is a God of truth. And four, just a couple pages over, in John 4, 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Underneath that word, I wrote honest. In other words, we have to be honest with God, because He will not accept anything but honesty with us. And we are living in a society that is trying to distort that dramatically. God is just. Matthew 24. It says here, I'm sorry, that was another verse I was going to read. Matthew 12. God is just. 12:36. Sounds right. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That basically gives us the importance of what we say. And I ask the question again, what's in us when we are squeezed? You know, is it fact or is it fiction? Are we going to speak the truth? And I'd like to just quickly like to see what the Bible says in regards to what does God think about lying. Proverbs 6. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, the heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. These are things that God hates, and they're actually an abomination. Abomination is something that's totally, God has no time for. It's totally gone. It's out. And it's bad. So the question is, we're living in a time of lies and deceit. In history, I'm talking back before all the younger people here, when you communicate with someone, you know, you could be lied to, okay? But then along came the printing press. Well, then you could read other people's lies, you know, because that happens. But then along came the telephone. And then you could hear lies and gossip. I mean, in my younger years, I remember, you know, there were some people who got on the phone and all they could do is yak about other people, which were not true. And it destroyed people. And now we have the fabulous thing called internet. And I call that an explosion of lies. I have people sent me stuff already, and I need to thank my children, because I look at this thing and listen to this thing, and my children say, "Did you fact check that? You know, did you make sure that's right?" And a lot of times they're not. There are conspiracists out there. Yeah, a lot of times it's not. And actually, Art's my backup man. I call him sometimes. Hey, is this true? And he's good. He checked things out. Nope, that doesn't add up. That doesn't add up. So, you know. So, but we're living in a time of a country that's full of lies. And I'd like you all to turn to this Acts. I want you to turn to this, because you must get this one. This is what God sees about lying. Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered and said unto her, Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. And Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at its feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, found her dead, carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Lying is serious. God doesn't take any time. He doesn't give any space. And I'm thinking to myself, what if God would do that again? I mean, would it make that happen in churches? What would happen? How many would be standing? I repeat the question. What am I made of? Is it fact or fiction? What am I? To me, we have to somehow help our children understand the seriousness or the consequences of lying. It's serious. We live in a society where a man can say, I want to be a woman. And we have women that say, I want to be a man. And some say, I want to be a cat. I have a friend of mine who's a manager at a company, and he told me that there is a man there, he calls himself Furry. And he sharpens his nails grow, he sharpens his teeth, and I'm not sure what else he does. And he just said, well, he can do that, but he said he thinks he should only eat cat food out of a tin can, and he also should be neutered because we don't need any more of them. That was his comment. But what I'm driving at, we are living in this society that is full of lies. And in Thessalonians it says, and God is going to turn them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is someone who cannot think right. They do not see truth. They don't grasp it. They're all over the place. God is out of the picture. I understand our commander-in-chief made the comment that he wants to make a law, something about to let children decide whatever they want, and then they can be messed up surgically. And the person say why? So for God's glory. And I'm thinking to myself, how far off the wall can you get? It's wrong. It's sin. So let's go back to truth. God said he made them male and female. There was no Heinz variety 57. And someone told me that I think the government has 97 different varieties. But that doesn't change the fact. The fact is they're male and female. And the fact is God is truth. And we find our truth in the Word of God. We find that we need to be connected to this truth, or we're going to fall by the wayside of everybody else. And the sad thing is, I had a customer just told me that there are churches now that are marrying same sex. I mean, these are Mennonite churches. And I'm thinking to myself, how far off can you get from truth? Let's go back to the truth. What does the Bible say? And we'd like to look at a couple of verses here. I have other verses here that I thought we could read, but I want to get down to this one, because to me this one is very, the consequences of lying. If you go to the interesting, I'm going to back up a little bit. The interesting thing is the Bible from beginning to end is telling us or showing us in the garden. What did Satan do? He said, hath God said? I mean, no, he didn't mean that. You know, there was deception or deceit from the creation, and it goes to the end where in Revelations, I'd like to read a few verses here. Revelations 21. I'm going to begin reading at verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for thy former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I'm going to go over to chapter 22. We're going to begin at verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I would like to just go down over a little bit of a breaking down of these words. For instance, the fearful, those that are cowardly, those that are miserable, wretched, and unhappy. Does that ring a bell? Last Saturday, there was a question, is why are there some people, they come to church with a glum look? Remember that? And that's because they're not connected with Jesus Christ. They don't realize what all they've been redeemed from. They don't realize what all God has done for them. They are losing the truth that life is in God. We need to be happy, and not because we put it on, but because it's inside. We need it inside. Jesus needs to be in you so that what's in you will come out, and that's truth. Or is it going to be false? All right. The next one, unbelieving. That's an infidel. Faithless, someone who doesn't have faith. It was mentioned here, I think Gerald mentioned about, you know, faith is something that's kind of hard to explain. But do you have faith in God? Do you see God working in your life? Do you believe in him? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Are you experiencing this walk with God? Third, abominable. That is a cause to stink, make loathsome, feel disgust, detest, having a horror of, abomination. It also refers to those polluted with unnatural lusts, abominable. Then four, murderers. We know what that is, someone that kills. But Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. We're living in the New Testament. And so if you even hate someone, it's counted as being a murderer. And they're not going to enter heaven. They're not going to make it. The next one, sorcerers. Now, this is the one that I really like. I got to be careful I don't get on my hobby horse. But anyway, sorcerers. And that is a person who, by use of drugs, enchanted potions, charms, and enchantments, seek to produce a supernatural effect in the lives of others. It's only found here. Sorcerers is, the actual, their word is pharmaceutical. And I am not here to say that all medicine is wrong, but I am here to say that we are living in a drugged environment, majorly. And I'm not saying that a person can't take some to help them over a hump or something. What blew my mind is where I was from, where I came from, I understood there was a lot of servant leaders who were on depression meds. And I'm like, what? I couldn't believe this. And to me, I'm not saying you can't do that to help you over a hump, okay? But to live on that, it's not good. This is not what God designed. We are not here to be a drugged up people. The next one, adulterers. Those who practice adultery, abominable, immoral acts in worship of idols. The next one is dogs. And this was an eye-opener. A little bit. So a dog is a false prophet. It's also homosexuals. They are called dogs in scriptures in Deuteronomy 23:18, Isaiah 56:10. And then we have liars. And lastly, those that love to lie. In my growing up years, I know of people who love to, in quotes, stretch the truth. Okay? They say, they add something to it to make the story good, make it juicy. It's wrong. They just love to get people stirred up. That is not of God. The Bible says that your yea be yea and your nay, nay. we need to realize the seriousness of lying. Now remember, we said God is everything, he's love, he's, and that doesn't look good, does it? It looks like troop. But it's true. And he's just. The thing that we have to realize is we are children of God. So the question is, do we have these characteristics? Are they reflecting in our lives? Are they coming, who are we? Are we fact or fiction? What's in us? What's coming out? John 14:67, I think that verse is, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you have a relationship with God, you should be experiencing those things in your life. And when we are children of truth, I was talking to a neighbor here recently, telling him a little bit what I was thinking. And there's a song that we sang, the cross before me, the world behind me. And the question is, am I living the cross before me and the world behind me? The world is full of lies. The world is full of deceit. It likes to make you think that if you do this, you're going to get this. And it's a bunch of lies. But we know that the Bible says, you do this, and this will happen. This is truth. We need to follow truth. Otherwise, we are going to be the losers. And the thing that I think we have to realize, I'm trying to think, 2 Corinthians 13. I'm not even sure what that verse has to say, but I have it written down here, and I guess I'm going to read it. Second Corinthians 13, I'm going to begin reading at verse 5. It says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except to be reprobate or cast away. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobate. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. If God is in us, we must do the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should be sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. I think the challenge there is, are you experiencing this relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you have this walk with him? Has he filled your life? Or are you out there listening to the deceit and the lies and everything else? The thing that's really sad is I never dreamt that this country would make a law that makes same-sex marriage legal. My grandparents would roll in the grave. I mean, it's beyond them. But we have gone down this road so far that reprobate is whatever feels good, do it. But that puts us right for judgment, the country, that is. Now, my question to you is to help you to understand something. When we are children of the Father, we are children of truth. We need to speak the truth in love. But we must speak it, live it, experience it. And when we do that, this reprobate group out here, they're not going to like us. Because we're speaking the truth. And there are situations now where, you know, if you're a part of a group and you don't accept or correlate with the LGBT or, you know, whatever, you could lose your job or you could be fired or, you know, all these other things. And it's happening around us. And the cry is, are we going to we're going to have truth in us? Are we going to live the truth? Are we going to experience the truth? Are we going to have the truth so that the world can see Jesus? We need to be transformed. We need to be born again. And if you would turn to Ephesians 4, there is, Titus isn't here, but I have in my Bible, this is Titus's chapter. And every Sunday when he's here, he reads this to me. And to me, it's kind of touching, but I'm going to read a couple verses here. It says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you, verse 1, beseech you about the walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. That's God is everything. It's everything. He's all in all. And Titus reads that in his way. And I close with, God is everything. And the sooner we grab that, he is truth. He's our rock. He's our everything. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Now, later on this chapter, I'm going to give you something that just to give food for thought, and this is what we've been dealing with. In verse 25, he talks about sins. The first sin, wherefore putting away lying. And that says, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And right behind that, and it's interesting, I think lying and anger go hand in hand. It says, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon the wrath, neither give place unto the devil. The two sins that the devil is, his characteristics is lies and anger. And that's the other kingdom. We want the kingdom of God. We want the kingdom of love, truth, and justice. That's God. I would like to give you an illustration here, which I hope works. I have a piece of wood here. Just, I didn't trust the carpet. And I have two vessels here, okay? Two vessels that look right. You know, this is like, we call ourselves vessels. We're all vessels, right? Now, this one I had the privilege of drinking yesterday. So this is empty. And I would like to show to you something that I hope works. This one's filled and sealed. This one is empty. This one is not filled and sealed. And when the world around you comes crushing in on you, and they're trying to tell you all these lies and all these things, I want to show you what happens. Oh, I think you kind of got ruined. Now, are you ready? I am standing on a filled, sealed can, and I am not getting crushed. My cry to you is, you must be filled with Jesus Christ, and you must be sealed with the Holy Spirit, or you're not going to make it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you again this morning with grateful hearts. We thank you, Father, for the truth you have given to us in your word. We pray, Father, that each one here would seek your word and love your word, and live your word so that you could receive the honor and the glory that you are worthy of. And Father, forgive us where we have failed. And help us, Lord, to understand that you do love us and you do want us to live in truth. And we just ask that you might give us the grace and the strength to do so. And we pray especially that your Holy Spirit will work in our lives and you will continue to seal us for your glory and for your honor. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I could say one more thing, and that is, you know, in heaven, there's a bunch of liars, but they're forgiven. May God bless you all.